All right, now if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And our text will be found in verse 20. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20. A message to the bruised. A message to the bruised. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he set forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. A message to the bruised. Now every child of God knows something about ourselves. We know this about ourselves. We are perfect only in one thing: weakness. We are perfect weakness. In ourselves there is no strength. In ourselves there is no power to keep us in the faith. There is no power to sustain our love for Christ or each other. Now let the self-righteous man boast in his ability. Let the self-righteous man boast in the power of his will. But God's people, we confess this, our weakness is known and felt in our very souls. Our weakness is not just a doctrine to assent to. When I talk about weakness, most religion may nod their head. But this is not just a doctrine we assent to, but we are very much acquainted with it. Weakness is a daily, personal, inward experience of every believer. And I'll tell you this, I have not yet fathomed the depths of my weakness. I know I am weakness, perfect weakness. But I still do not understand how weak I really am. We've not yet fully experienced that weakness. This truth of our weakness then must be learned. It must be learned. But there is only one way weakness is learned. It must be exposed. It must be revealed. And it is only revealed through inward sorrow and affliction. This is how our weaknesses are revealed. This is because the Holy Spirit means by this. Now you ask why? Why do we need this weakness revealed? Why is it through sorrow and suffering and pain is the weakness of the child of God to be exposed? Why does the Spirit do it that way? Simply for this purpose, that we also might experience the strength of Christ. If you do not know your weakness, you will never know His strength. If you believe you are strong, you will never understand His strength or feel His strength. When Paul was buffeted by Satan, assaulted, what was the answer of Christ to his assault? He said this, "My grace is sufficient for thee because my strength is made perfect in" what? Weakness. Only in weakness is the strength of Christ revealed. The perfect strength of Christ revealed. So then in the child of God, is ever the experience, to ever experience the strength and grace of Christ, he must know the greatness of his weakness. Now tonight, I want to reveal something about our weakness in this text. This text is going to reveal something about our weakness. And it is also going to reveal something about the strength of Christ. The strength of Christ. Here the Lord is speaking in order to comfort bruised reeds. He's going to give comfort to those that are bruised. those that are hurt, those that are afflicted, those whose weaknesses are exposed. He is going, in the power of His strength, He is going to comfort you, to strengthen you. Now, tonight I have 3 points, 3 things. I want to first reveal the character of every believer in his weakness. The character of every believer in this little text is revealed. Then secondly, I want us to see the gracious will and power of the Redeemer toward those people. And thirdly, I want us to see the hope of the full experience of our salvation. Now listen, Christ's salvation is complete. It's done. You've received it. You who believe, you've received this salvation. But we know that we've not yet fully experienced the total victory of it. We've not experienced that yet. We know it by faith, but we soon shall experience it. Okay, first, the character. The character is revealed in these two types. Look, listen to this. A bruised reed and smoking flax. If you want to know who you are in the text, that's you. You're the reed. And you're the flax. Now then, let's consider the reed first. Can you find anything weaker than a reed? I don't know if you've ever been in a bayou or a ditch and you see the reeds coming up. They're little hollow plants. And they're just as weak. Little child can come up and just flick one and break it. It's just weak. There's a weak plant. He's not comparing us to an oak, but a reed. A reed, a feeble, frail plant, easily blown and easily broken, easily bruised. Every believer understands that we are as feeble and frail as a reed. We are totally dependent upon the grace and care of God. We are totally dependent upon the righteousness and blood of Christ to save us and make us acceptable with God. Now reed, it's a very lowly and despicable plant. It has none of the strength or abilities of the oak, but the only thing it has in common with an oak is this: it's living. They both are living. Now, I want you to imagine the reed for just a moment. Behold the origins of this reed that Christ is speaking of. A reed. Its root lies in a bed of slime in the ditch. Its root is buried in the slime. It is surrounded by the mud. But consider this. The reed itself is distinct and different from the mud it comes out of. It's in the ditch, but it's not the ditch. It's in the slime, but it's not the slime. It's in the mud, but it's not the mud. And it's not contaminated by it. And such is the life of the believer in Christ. We are surrounded by the mire of our nature. And yet, in the new birth, we are distinct from it. In one man lies two natures. The mud and the reed. The mud, our sin, our vileness, and the reed, our spiritual life. Now look in the mire and you see this small stem of the reed begin to push out. You look down the mud and there's nothing there but mud. And all of a sudden one day you come by and you see a little sprout. You see it pushing through the mud. You see that little reed come up. And that seed that was buried was unseen, but then at the appointed time, it springs forth and there is life. Even so it is with us. Even so, you passed by me the day before the Lord saved me, and there was nothing but mud. Now the Lord saw something different. He put something different in there. But one day at the appointed time, we were born of the Spirit of God. We were given life. And we sprang forth from the mire of our nature. The life of God was planted in our souls, and in spite of our flesh, in spite of our rebellion, in spite of our old nature, God lifted our infant head up by faith, and we burst forth into the Son of Righteousness. There was nothing more blessed. Is there anything more blessed than to see one born again? When you see a man come to Christ, I mean, it is the most joyous occasion when a sinner confesses Christ. Why? Because he is born of God. He is born of God. The sinner lifts his head out of the darkness and corruption into life and faith. And just like that little reed coming out of the mud and the mire, there begins what? A struggle. A struggle. When we were born again, that began a struggle, didn't it? A struggle between our sins and the waves of our temptation and our guilt. We felt our guilt. But then the refreshing news of the gospel pours over our soul. And we learn this, that we have escaped the corruption of our nature. There is therefore now, listen, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We heard that text. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. We heard those texts. And we see as a reed coming out of the mud and mire, we see Christ has removed our sin and guilt. Now listen, the first time this reed ever saw springtime, what a joyful time it was. What a time of sunshine. And I know this, when we first born again, we supposed it was always going to be like this. We supposed it would always be this way. It would always be, we always sing that song, "There is sunshine, blessed sunshine in my soul today." But what is our experience? You reads, what is your experience? Let a little time pass and the spring turns to drought of summer and the coldness of winter. Let times of trials and temptations take hold of our feeble reed, and what? We are easily bruised. Easily bruised. The reed grew out of the mire into the light, but now something has changed in the text. It does not say a reed shall he not break, but rather a bruised reed. A bruised reed. Every believer in this world, we must pass through great troubles. This is a horrible thing if we somehow believe we are exempt. We are going to be sadly disappointed. Our faith is going to be brought very low if we start looking at this saying, "Oh, well, I'm a child of God, therefore I must be exempt." No, we all must go through trials. We all must, listen, be bruised. Every one of us. Now I'm going to give you some things that causes the bruise. What causes the bruise of every believer? Well, the first thing that caused the bruise was the law. The law caused a bruise. Many of us who are believers, we were religious. We were self-righteous. And at once we thought the law was a helper. We thought the law was our friend. We thought the law would help us to God. We thought it to be some kind of rule of life, but once we were quickened by the Spirit, we saw the law was not our friend, but it was our judge. It was the one that condemned us. Paul said, "I was alive without the law once, but when sin revived, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And that which I thought was ordained to life, I found to be death." I found to be death. It was the law that bruised him so that he could see this, by that no flesh should, that by the law should no flesh glory in his presence, that no man should be saved in any part by the law. And it was the law that bruised, was it not the law that bruised our Savior upon the tree? He bearing our sins in his own body, it was the justice of the law that condemned him. I tell you, if there will ever be life in a sinner, he must see the hopelessness of his own works. And I'll tell you, this will bruise you. It hurts. It hurts to know this. None of our works can be accepted. Salvation is not a cooperation, friends, but this often bruises us. It often bruises us. Second thing that bruises the reed is afflictions. Afflictions. Every believer must pass through affliction. Listen to this in Acts chapter 14. The apostle was confirming the souls of the saints, and he was exhorting them to continue in the faith. Every time I come here, I exhort you to continue. Now, why do I have to do that? If everything was going well, you would say, well, what is he talking about? Why does he need to exhort me? I'm doing good. No, we are exhorting you because we know this, that we through much tribulation should enter the kingdom of God. And so this exhortation, I know you are going through much tribulation. Why? Because every reed does. And this affliction, this tribulation often bruises. We are afflicted in our bodies. We are afflicted by our families. We are afflicted in our minds. We are afflicted in our hearts. Now this affliction could be because of our sin. It could be because of someone else's sin. It could be just plain providence. No fault of anybody. This is just God's providence that afflicts us. Believers go through trials like ocean waves, constantly beating us over and over and over again. You know what this does? It bruises us. It bruises us. We are bruised by these afflictions. Our cheerful countenance and boldness of spirit is brought low by them. These trials and troubles will not break the believer, nor will they ever be brought into despair to leave Christ. But these trials and providences do bruise us. But let us be sure of this, these afflictions have a purpose. Every affliction has a purpose. It is purposed of God for you. Was our Lord not afflicted? What was his title? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Scripture tells us that he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Now listen, he knew obedience. He could do nothing else. What does it mean he learned? He experienced it by the things he suffered. And so if the Son of God should have fellowship with sufferings, how much more should we not also be partakers of suffering? Afflictions. Let me ask you, do you long to be in a closer fellowship with Christ? And what I mean by that, do you long to feel his presence and enjoy him? Long to hear his word? Do you weep because of your distance from him? Then consider the way that we draw near to Christ is this: affliction. Affliction. Listen, if you're to know more of his broken heart, then surely you must yourself experience a broken heart. If you're to be close to the man of sorrows, you yourself must also take part in sorrow. Now listen, I'm not saying pray for affliction. But know this, when you pray for nearness to him, that's how it comes. You must be bruised by afflictions. The third thing is temptation bruises us. Temptation is easily bruises us. Now, why should such powerful and painful temptations fall upon us? Because the believer, often thinks ourselves strong. We need to be taught our weakness. And nothing makes us feel our weakness so much as our inadequacy with temptation, our acquaintance with temptation. Now, temptation, what does it do? What is the purpose of this temptation? Temptation exposes hidden evils. That's what it does. A lot of times we have evils in this heart that we don't know about, and what reveals them is temptation. Temptation. David did not know the adulterous and murderous heart that he had until he was what? Tempted. Hezekiah did not know his pride. He thought himself pious when he showed the Babylonians the things that God had done. But it wasn't piety, it was pride. He did not know that until the Babylonians tempted him. Jonah did not know his rebellion or hatred until God had tested it. Temptation does not put sin into our heart, it simply exposes it. Our nature is like fuel and temptation like the fire. You separate them, the fuel is harmless. But you put the fire to it, and only then you know its power to burn. This is why the believer is to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. But when we are, I'll tell you this, we're bruised by it. Is not the inner man bruised when you are led into temptation? These evils spring up in us that we did not know were even at there. And they come out of us. What a bruising this is. What a sorrow it is to the believer. The fourth thing that causes bruising is Satan. Satan is a professional bruiser. In the beginning, this message was this: the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent, but as it was added, he shall bruise his heel. Now listen, if you know this, that he was permitted to bruise the heel of our master, how easily could he bruise us? And what is his bruise? It is this: accusations. Accusations. He hints at such thoughts of leaving Christ or of Christ leaving us, and it causes us to be bruised. Have you ever had thoughts of leaving Christ? Oh, what a sorrow it is. What a pain. What a devastation it is. And lastly, there's sin itself bruises us. When we are tempted and we are exposed our evil, but not just that, when we've given over to it. This bruises us. The consequence of sin is sharp and piercing to our souls. Guilt lies hard and heavy upon us and cuts deep into our soul. Sin bruises the reeds of God. But every reed that has ever been bruised, listen, we have this same as David. I just told you of David's bruising. You remember how he committed such great sin. But I tell you, his confession is the confession of every bruised reed. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, what? blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Later on in verse 7 of that chapter, he says, purge me with hyssop. What does that mean? Purge me with the blood of Christ. Purge me with the blood of Christ. And listen, I know I'll be clean if you do it. If it's his blood. Wash me and I shall be as white as snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You see, we confess this, that this bruising's of God. This bruising's of God. We confess our sins. And here's the hope then of the bruised reed. The bruised reed, this is the way and the path by which the Lord reveals his love and power. If you've been bruised by these things, it is good that we are bruised. It's good because by this he will reveal his love and power. Now the second character is this smoking flax. I want you to understand what this means. This word flax, it's rather tow. Now what this is the waste of flax, of hemp. Hemp, it'll do fine, but you have this waste. And it's good for nothing but to burn. But the problem is, when you put fire to it, it doesn't really burn. It just smokes. It just smokes. The flame won't catch. It just smolders. And this smoking flax, it is a picture of the work of God, work of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts. The smoking flax, or the fire of it, is the life of God within. It is the life of God that is kindled in every child of God. Now I know that every believer in Jesus Christ, we would have this fire of faith and love. Would you not? Would you not love that faith and love would just light up the room every time you walk in? It would just glow. That you would just take over. You want that. We would love to feel the burning flame of love and faith, but the problem is the tow. The tow here, or the flax itself, is a picture of the wicked and vile corruptions of the old man. We would love to burn with faith and love, but it is because of this old nature of sin and unbelief, our doubts, our lust, and our afflictions that seem to snuff out the flame of faith and love. And the smoking flax is the work of life given to us by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it pictures the struggle. The fire is struggling to burn, and the flax is struggling to put it out. This is a picture of us. Oh, what heaps of rubbish overspread us in the inward life of God. The cares of family and business, of worldly evil, sensual desires seek to snuff out the flame of God's faith, so that every believer cries, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, how I need one to come and blow upon the flame of God set in my heart. That God would send his Spirit so that it would burn up the mass of corruption surrounding my old nature. But herein is the hope, that where there's smoke, there's fire. If there is this struggle, then there's what? There's life. There's life. Now then, you see, that's our nature. That's a picture of us. The reed, the weak plant growing out of the mire. That's us growing out of us old nature. God giving us life. And then God causing the bruise. God causing the bruise by Satan, by sin, by temptation, by affliction. Whatever means God uses to bruise us. That's us. But now then, I want you to see this second thing, and this is the comfort. The gracious will of Christ toward the bruised. Look at this. Go back to your text. The bruised reed, that's me. Listen, shall he not break? And smoking flax he will not quench. Weak and wounded believer, Jesus knows our frame and remembers that we are nothing more than animated dust. Are you bruised? Are you ready to give up all hope? Are you now sunk beneath the waves of sorrow? Do you soon expect the Savior to cut you off because of your sin, because of your affliction, because of Satan's accusation? You expect him to, at any moment, just break you off like a bruised reed. Now listen, I know this. A bruised reed deserves nothing more than to be broken off. What good is it? When you got a reed and it's bent over, right? It's now back down in the mire, right? It rose up, it's standing up straight. Now it's bruised, it's leaning over. It's in the muck. What good is it? It can't produce any fruit. It can't provide any shelter for you. You don't chop down a bunch of reeds and build a house, do you? It's useless. But notice the compassion of Christ, even recognizing your uselessness. He still will not break you off. He will not let you go. Though you might deserve it. The bruised reed, though it has no value, it yields no fruit or flower, yet see the great and tender love of Christ, that he will not break it off. When you are bruised, we come to Jesus like that Syrophoenician woman. Remember her? She came, "Lord, have mercy upon me." She's crying after him this whole time. His disciples said, "Lord, won't you send her away?" You know what he turns and does? He bruises her even more. He didn't turn around and say, "It's going to be all right." No, he turns around and says, "You know, it's not me to give the children bread to dogs." What'd he do? He bruised her. And what was the confession of every bruised reed? "Lord, have mercy upon..." That's exactly what she said. "Lord, truth. What you said, just right. Truth. Lord, even the dogs receive the crumbs from the master's table." She was bruised. Why'd he bruise her like that? So he can show his love and mercy. Listen, Jesus was not willing to cut her off. She was bruised in order to display his power. If you are now bruised by the afflictions and temptations, by the guilt and accusations of the enemy, and ready to perish and give up hope, remember this, that Christ was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities and does sympathize with us and support us. And here is the hope, that Christ will not ever cast me off. A bruised reed he shall not break. Are you a bruised reed? Here's your hope. He won't break you. He won't cast you off. And the second thing is, smoking flax he shall not quench. Behold, our corruption and lust are strong. Our thoughts are full of filth and hurtful passions. Our hearts and minds are cold, indifferent toward the things of God. And our flesh would surely long to extinguish this spiritual life. Is it not a wonder that we're still here? Is it not amazing that the smoke of faith still emanates from this man? I tell you, if our faith in Christ and love for God were left up to our power, it would have been out long ago. But here is the hope of life, smoking flax. One who the Spirit of God has kindled to life and faith, be it ever so small, Jesus will never let it die. No matter how small our faith, He will never let it go out. I'm telling you, friends, I have often just thought it's over. I thought my faith would go, is gone. I will gone. Me and Asaph, I'll tell you what, me and him, I identify with him. He said, my faith and I will slipped. I was gone. Have you ever been just totally thought it's over? And yet somehow faith still came. That flame of faith still flickered. Why? I like that picture in Pilgrim's Progress, don't you? You see, he comes to the interpreter's house and Christian is looking at a wall and there's a fire right there in the wall. And one man, he's taking water and he's just pouring it onto the flame, pouring the water, trying to put it out. And the more water he puts on it, the fire grows. And Christian is just saying, what in the world is this? This is amazing. How is it that the flame won't go out? And he said, come to the other side of the wall. He takes him to the other side of the wall, and there's a man on that side pouring oil in. This is a picture. Sin, self, the world, the flesh, the devil are constantly trying to put out that faith. Your own flesh is trying to put it out. But here's our hope that God continually pours the oil of the Spirit into our hearts and it will never go. This is exactly what Christ meant when he said this. No man can pluck them out of my hand. Who will rob you of your faith? Oh, they'll try. But they'll never be able to do it. The just shall live by faith. That's not only the rule of our life, but that's a promise. The just shall live by faith. Continually living by faith. And so when you come to that point where the smoke seems almost gone, listen to this, a smoking flax he will not put. I know that's what Peter meant when he said this, that we are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Are you a bruised reed? Bruised by sin, bruised by temptation, afflictions, trials. Listen to this. He will not cast you. Do you have faith in Christ? A smoking flax he shall not quench. This is the reason we still believe. And the last thing is the hope of Christ's eventual completion of this salvation. Look at this. He says, till he set forth judgment unto victory. While the reed is being bruised and the flax is dimly burning, judgment is ongoing. The court of judgment is set up in the conscience and the verdicts are being passed out. When every believer's sin is always the Spirit of God which brings us into the bar of judgment with our conscience. There is the child of God who once is brought to anger and rage. The other's been allured away by lust. He has committed and vile affections of the flesh. Others in their hearts have left their first love. It's then the Spirit of God will always, at the appointed time, bring his sons to judgment in their conscience so that they should feel the bruise. He does so that they may see their corruptions and have well nigh extinguished their love and faith in Christ. It is true that Christ will bring upon his saints through their bruise and through their smoke of their corruptions. He brings them on us to feel the guilt and shame of our sins. He will bring our souls down to the dust, even because it is only there is mercy seen. You see, he bruises us, and he causes this to come upon us so that we should see not just the condemnation, but victory. Isn't this where he always brings us? He brings us down so that he might cause us to see the victory. The victory. The victory is not in ourselves. The victory is in Christ. He brings us through the judgment bar of our conscience and draws us down, feel our bruisedness, so that he might show us victory. Victory. He might show us that Christ is victorious. Therefore, he will not cut us off or cast us off. Why? Because Christ has already won the victory. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 53 and verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off. Why aren't you going to be cut off? He was cut off. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why are you not going to cut that bruise reed off? He was bruised. The Lord bruised him. He put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You will not be cut off, even because he has satisfied the justice of God forever. Our life will never be cut off. Our flame will never go out. Though our corruptions ever be so many and our foes ever be so determined to put out our faith, Jesus here has given us eternal life, and he will never allow it to go out. And here's the question to you reeds, you bruised reeds. Upon whom is this victory dependent? Smoking flax, does your life depend on your power to keep it going? No. Our life and our salvation is totally dependent upon the victory of Jesus Christ. Listen, you bruised reed, was he successful? Was he victorious? Did he actually put away our sin? Therefore, can God be just and still cut us off? No. No, God cannot demand twice payment for sin. That's why the bruised reed shall not be broken. That's why the smoking flax shall not be quenched. Because he has set forth judgment unto what? Victory. Victory. I pray that God would help us with this in our time of bruising, in our time of struggle, our time of when our faith is low, our love is non-existent. I'm hopeful in this that I shall not be cast off because he promised a bruised reed he shall not break, smoking flax he shall not quench till he set forth judgment unto victory. I'll tell you, one day we're going to experience the full measure of that victory. I don't know the full measure of that victory. I haven't yet experienced it. We soon shall experience it. There won't be any more broken reeds, will there? Won't be any more smoking flax. Why? Won't be any more sin. I pray God will help you and strengthen you. Let's stand and be dismissed. Father, dismiss us with your blessing and please comfort your people. Strengthen us in our time of affliction. Show us the victory that is in Christ so that we not be discouraged, we not be downcast. Father, though we be bruised, you will not break us off. Though we struggle to believe, we know you will not put out our faith. I thank you and give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.